Today is Sunday, 28 November 2021. We will be continuing from this book, fourth lesson of the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta. This transcript book we have covered until page 23. We will continue from there after we start. What does the Surangama Sutra say? Surangama Sutta has a very famous saying, perception of form is one. All these are interconnected. Yes, it is consciousness. So perception of form is consciousness. Why is it consciousness? How do you know that this is a table? You perceive it through your mundane mind, your thinking mind, which is consciousness and is content. What is the content inside there? The content inside there is what? Your perception, isn't it? You perceive it through your memory, isn't it? Perception of form can be anything. Can be a table, a fan, a Buddha image, the Kuan Yin image, or this hall, Wu Ping Jing Se, or even all of our Kayan meters, Dharma friends. Or you perceive my voice, my vibration, etc. You perceive it through memory. Yeah? So all this we have covered. Then even kayanometers, or you can perceive my voice or my vibration, etc. They are all forms. It can be visual form, verbal form, or vibration, etc. So all these forms, if you perceive them, they come from your mundane mind, which is consciousness. You will become conscious of what you hear, what you see, etc. The moment you are conscious of what you see and what you hear, you dwell there. So this is dwelling. You are dwelling everywhere. You dwell somewhere. Whereas its non-perception is wisdom, this part. So no perception means what? You don't have perception. Means when you don't perceive, what does it mean? You are just aware. So that is just an awareness before the knowing, which means you don't dwell. That's why it's wisdom. So the famous sentence or saying of the Surangama Sutta is, perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. You dwell somewhere, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. So this non-perception means you are just aware, awareness before the knowing, means you don't dwell. That's why it's called wisdom. That's why the mind must have no dwelling. Straight away, when Hui Neng heard that, he came to great awakening. He straight away knew because his mind was already without the mundane mind. He was born without the mundane mind. His mind, which is the true mind, never dwelt anywhere. He was aware, he was fully aware. But he learned all this from culture, from society, from the conditioning that the people taught him. That's why he was already born with a pure mind, a true mind. He didn't have a mundane mind. And because of that, when people spoke the truth, he immediately was awakened. That's why you don't need to have any knowledge. You don't need to study anything. The moment you hear the truth, if your mind is already transformed, you will understand truth. That's why Dhamma is to be realized. You cannot think about it. You have to awaken to it. Awaken means you cultivate until your silent mind insight into phenomena and awaken. So this part is very important. You have to cultivate until your silent mind arise, means your awareness nature become very stable. Then the silent mind is your true mind. Until you realize that and stabilize that, then use that to meditate, and that one can insight into phenomena and awaken. If that mind is the true mind, then you will understand. That's why I said, when you meditate, don't try to know. If you're trying to know, it is the thought, it is the thinking mind. And that mind cannot know. That mind is always knowledge based. Do you understand? In order to understand, you have to be silent without thought. That's why Huineng knew. This is what it is. The mind must have no dwelling. It must not dwell anywhere. The moment you perceive something, you dwell there. Okay? And then only we come to the next paragraph, which was, what is a phenomenon? So just now, the computer, I think, don't know what happened. There is something not operating according to the way it's supposed to be, because I think we are not familiar with the adjustment. Anyway, I'm reading from the text, it's easier, the transcript. So what is a phenomenon? Anything that is perceivable by a mind is a phenomenon. Anything that is perceivable by the mind is a dwelling by the mind. So always remember this. The moment you perceive something, you dwell there. Understand? That's why the mind that dwells actually think a lot, get entangled, because you give meaning. You perceive your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, everything come in. Even your phobia, your memory, your insecurity, your fear, everything come in and condition you to stir your mind. That's why your six senses are very powerful. When they arise, you immediately dwell everywhere. You give meaning everywhere. That's how you stir your mind. That's how you create duality. That's how delusion sets in. Because you cannot understand what is going on. You cannot see things as they are. You use a lot of words, a lot of concepts. You are subject to a lot of conditioning, giving rise to all the views and opinions. Then you have fear, you have insecurity, you have anxiety, you have your likes and dislikes, pleasant and unpleasant sense experiences. You create so much mental states and movements, all because of self-delusion, sakkayadity. When you believe this is you, then the content of consciousness is capable of bringing about delusion to delude you into possessiveness, greediness, selfishness, and emotional negativity. That's why you will have all this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, followed by insecurity and the lack of peace. All this come about through your own ignorance and self-delusion. So this self-delusion is the main one. Because that is the one that created the entity, the egoic mind. So the mundane mind becomes egoic and carries the egoic consciousness is because of this sakkayadity, self-delusion. Because the individual believes that you as a human being, the form and mind is what you are. So that creates the personality, the ego. And from there you act. So when you think you exist, what happens? You will have possessiveness. You will have this, what they call craving, desire to own things, to have things. So greed will come in, attachment will come in, craving will come in, because that personality creates the entity that will give rise to the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So greed is easy to understand, because when you think you exist, you want to own things, you want to have things, you want to possess things. But aversion, anger, hatred, you know, is part of the egoic mind. When you cannot get what you want, when you are unhappy, you become angry, you become violent, you become emotional. Then when things don't go your way, you also react and stir your mind. So your anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, emotional negativity, they will arise. And that is the evil root of hatred. So with greed and hatred, the third one will surface. Because third one is ignorant or self-delusion. So this sakkayadity, or what they call moha. Moha is a type of delusion. Because you don't understand. You are deluded by the phenomenal world. You attach, you cling, and you give meaning. So when you do that, what will happen? It will give rise to fear, worry, anxiety, doubt, insecurity. So all these are the mind state born of delusion or ignorance, not knowing the truth, not understanding what is going on. So that fear, that worry, the anxiety, that sorrow and the lamentation is a result of delusion. So greed, hatred, and delusion are the three evil roots that spring forth from the self, the atta, created by the egoic mind. So if you don't have mindfulness, if you don't silence your mind, you cannot see how you function as a human being, how you become what you are, and how you attach to things, cling on to things, grasp on to things, and believe that the form and mind is you. That's why you worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. And you every time get yourself entangled because you believe you exist, you are real, you can own things, you can have things. And because of that, that craving, the attachment, the possessiveness will cause you suffering when things don't go your way. When there is separation, when there is death, when there is relationship failure due to the first noble truth reality. So all this will trigger suffering when you lack Dhamma understanding to see clearly that the form and mind is not you. It's just a condition arising entity, karmically conditional for you to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life, to cultivate, to do what you want, to fulfill your vow, to go through all the karmic process. So if you fail to see clearly and develop such understanding, you will get yourself entangled through sakkayadity, self-delusion. So this self-delusion is the cause of suffering. So like what I mentioned just now, it will condition you to cling to grasp, then you will be deluded by the phenomenal world. So all this is going to cause you affliction, suffering. Okay, we go back to the sharing. Then I say, now is it clearer? Slowly, I say, as this understanding stabilizes, one day you will understand. Or in Cantonese, they say, you already understood, means kautim already. Actually, it's true, it's not difficult. Many of you, very likely before the end of this year, will come to understand what I mean. And these are possible, not difficult. As you slowly develop the understanding via reflection and contemplation and listening to the Dhamma, to straighten your views, and then cultivate the daily mindfulness. So this daily mindfulness, which is very important, you have to cultivate it sincerely. Then you will transform. You do the training of the mind until the mindfulness arises, then stabilize it. If you do that, you will understand. When you are ever mindful, you will definitely understand. The formless mind will understand. Then the awakening will come. The understanding will trigger on. Then during that time, the formless mind will come to realize very clearly the following. No wonder living being cannot understand. And no wonder living being cannot break free, because they hold on to the thought and the sacrality of self-delusion. That's the reason why all thought-based meditation cannot lead to awakening. And it's really pitiful. All those who do thought-based meditation, they are stuck and they cannot penetrate the Dhamma. And they can be stuck for many lives, even eons. As long as you don't understand, you cannot develop the ability to be silent, to be aware. I ask you a very simple question. If you use thought or thought-based meditation, you will dwell everywhere. You will not have a mind that has no dwelling. Then how can you awaken? You better ask yourself that question. Then develop the understanding. Everything you also want to know. Now you understand why I say when you meditate, don't try to know. Because that knowing is a clinging, grasping from memory, knowledge, perception. So not knowing is non-perception, which is non-dwelling. So this is what the Surangama Sutta meant. Non-dwelling is the true mind, just an awareness. That's why perception of form is consciousness. Whereas it's non-perception, is wisdom. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. So silent, peaceful, and tranquil. That's why you don't need to do anything. So this understanding is very important. The moment you are without thought, you're already aware. So don't try to practice awareness or try to be aware. Yet the trying is always by the thought. So if you don't try, you just let things be, then you let the mundane mind silence itself or slow down and become very quiet. That is what awareness is. That is what your true mind is. So I read again. The moment you are without thought, you're already aware. You are already silent, peaceful, tranquil. So there is no need to do anything. That's why you have to relax, maintain awareness, and allow the mind to settle down when you meditate. Then when your mind settles down and does not stir, does not react, it means there is wisdom. There is understanding. You can accept the reality of the moment. You can be at peace. Otherwise, the mind, which is deluded and very capable, in Hokkien, means busybody, and everything also want to know, and everything also want to get involved, will create thinking or sankara activity, which are thoughts. Then it is also very good at reasoning. We are asking. So this analysis and reasoning is what thought is all about. So you have to be careful. Do not be deluded by it. So the reasoning or the analysis can be in any of this form. It may tell you the thought. If I don't arise the mind, how am I going to meditate? Because they think there must be a meditator. How am I going to develop understanding? If I keep on going along those lines of argument, which are all thought-based, it will give rise to a lot of verbalization and chattering. That's why you can never get an answer. Because who create all this thinking, sankhara activity, through reasoning and analysis? You want to like reason. You want to be right. So all this is going to give rise to more and more thinking, more and more verbalization and chattering within your mundane mind. So if you don't understand this, if you use the mundane mind or the thinking mind to do all these things in the name of meditation, then you are being deluded. What you are doing is creating more thought. That's why I call it thought-based meditation. Because thought can never insight into phenomena. The instrument of thought cannot realize a state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you need to silence your mind. You need to develop inner awareness. The true mind, which is just aware without thought. And that one, without views, opinion, and conditioning, because it's without thought, can see things as they are, can insight into phenomena, can awaken and realize the truth. But the problem with human beings is they don't know that there is such a mind as the silent mind, the true mind, the mind that arises when thought ceases. Because the only instrument in life that they understand is just the thinking mind, the thought. So without this understanding, it's very deep to penetrate the truth, to develop the meditation, to progress, to awaken. So hopefully with all this understanding and explanation, you will not be gullible anymore. Eh? So we go back to the text, and I will read on. That's why the truth is always the opposite of the apparent reality of the mundane mind of worldly people. For truth is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you have to constantly contemplate, reflect, and inquire clearly to realize that Dhamma. Inquiry Like, why did the Buddha keep on advising us all to take refuge in the Triple Gem? Chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, like Iti, Peso, Bhagava, etc. Chanting with understanding, especially when it comes to chanting the salutation of the Dhamma. Suwakato Bhagavata Dhammo. That explain what are the characteristics of this Dhamma. This Dhamma is Sanditiko, Akaliko, Ehipasiko, Upanayiko, Pachyatang, Veditapo, Vinuhiti. If you cannot understand these words, then you cannot develop the correct meditation, the correct awakening, because you cannot put to test. You cannot investigate. You cannot check if that realization matches with that salutation to the Dhamma as proclaimed by the Buddha. Then who are the Arya Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha? What qualities do they have? Their special quality are Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, etc. So when you chant the salutation to the Sangha, the four qualities are mentioned. They have all this quality within. That is why you have to reflect and contemplate on them. And when you chant, you have to chant with understanding. That's why when we do the invocation to the Deva, we always chant Iti Peso Bhagava, then Soakato Bhagavata Dhammo, then Sanditiko and all those things. Then Supatipanno, the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. made salutation to the triple gem so as to remind us constantly of what these triple gems are, so that we understand what they are. Then from there, we will share the Dhamma to help them penetrate the teaching. Then when they develop it accordingly, and when they penetrate, they can check against the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha themselves. Then they will realize that this is the correct cultivation and enlightenment. Otherwise, you will be gullible. You will be trapped in thought. You will become gullible, and you will believe what people tell you. Nowadays, especially the Dhamma ending age, there are many gullible stories that can really make people gullible and be attracted towards what they propagate. Even Subhadra, the wanderer, asked the Buddha in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta. Subhadra asked the Buddha, "Venerable sir, these Brahmins and contemplative, each with his group, each with his community, each teacher of his group, an honored leader, well regarded by people at large, that is Purama Kasapa, Makali Gosala, Ajita Kesa Kambalin, Pakuda Kachayana, Sanjata Balata Putta, and Nigata Nataputta. Do they all have direct knowledge, as they themselves claim, or do they all don't have direct knowledge, or do some of them have direct knowledge and some of them not?" So the Buddha, after hearing that, knew Subhadra wants to confirm. Then this one is a very dangerous trend, because if you were to answer without wisdom and understanding, it will lead to unnecessary misunderstanding, because you have to take a stand. Because the question is, are they the one that is truly having the direct seeing and the awakening, or is it only some? So whatever you answer, it will get you into trouble. So avoid all those things. That's why the Buddha is very smart. He said, "Enough, Subhadra. Put all these questions aside, because it's not important." So you can read the text now. He said, "Enough, Subhadra. Put all these questions aside. I will teach you the Dhamma. Listen and pay close attention. I will speak." You must listen to this. This one is the most important advice to really differentiate the Dhamma from all Dhamma. So the Buddha said all this to Subhadra. Then Subhadra answered. He said, "Yes, Lord." And the Blessed One said, "You must pay attention to this. In any doctrine and discipline or teaching, where the Noble Eightfold Path is not found, no contemplative of the first, second, third, or fourth order, means the sainthood, enlightenment of Sotapannaship, stream enterer, or once returner, Sakadagamiship, or non-returner, the Anagami, or an Arahant, which is the fully enlightened one. Which is the one that has severed all the 10 fetters. So, first stage of sainthood, second stage of sainthood, third stage of sainthood, and the fourth stage of sainthood. They can be found. But in any discipline, or doctrine where the Noble Eightfold Path doctrine. But in any discipline or doctrine where the Noble Eightfold Path is found, contemplative or the first, second, third, fourth order are found. Oh, okay. This one is the same. Huh? Because one refers to the Buddhists, the other one refers to non-Buddhists. Huh? The Noble Eightfold Path is found in this doctrine and discipline. And right here, they are contemplative of the first, second, third, and fourth order. Other teachings are empty of knowledgeable contemplative. And if the monks dwell rightly, this world will not be empty of arahant. So what is the criteria for differentiating all this? The criteria for differentiating all this is Noble Eightfold Path. That's the reason why you can recall what I used to share. I every time share with you all. Whatever meditation you do, if it doesn't bring you back to the cultivation and the perfection of the Noble Eightfold Path, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because under the fourth Noble Truth, the Buddha said, there is this Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So what does it mean? We develop the meditation to awakening, to end all suffering. So this is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So if you don't cultivate this, means you are not developing the ability to understand truth. Yeah, without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot cease all suffering and all affliction. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is a prerequisite. It's the only right aspect of teaching or cultivation that can help deal with affliction, suffering, and misery to overcome human human suffering and human conflict and misery. So this understanding is very important. Eh? Then I will continue. At the age of 29, I went for seeking what might be skillful. And since my going for more than 50 years have passed, outside the realm of methodological Dhamma, there is no contemplative. That's why methodological Dhamma means all using method, technique, and thought based on. And no contemplative or the second, third, or fourth order. Other teachings are empty of knowledgeable contemplative. And if the monk dwell rightly, this world will not be empty of arahant. Means you must go back to Noble Eightfold Path. Then Subhadra the Wanderer said, magnificent Lord. Magnificent. Siyako Panananda Tunhakam Ewame Sa Ati Tasatu Kam Pavachana Nati No Satati Nako Panatam Ananda Ewam Dattabam Yoko Ananda Maya Damo Che Vinayo Che Desito Panato So Mama Chayena Satate. So the English translation is, then the Blessed One said to Ananda, Venerable Ananda, he said, now if it occur to any of you the teaching has lost its authority, you are without a teacher, do not view it in that way. Whatever Dhamma or Vinaya I have pointed out and formulated for you, that will be your teacher when I'm gone. So that message was passed down. So what the Buddha wants the monks to understand is, do not allow people to have authority over you. What you need is only the truth. So the truth can be found in his Dhamma and Vinaya, means the Sutta and Vinaya. That's why people nowadays is very fond of referring to the sutta, which is not bad as advised by the Buddha. But when you refer to sutta and Vinaya, you must understand the real meaning of the sutta and the Vinaya, the intent behind. Otherwise, you can become gullible where you interpret the sutta. So especially nowadays, there are many commentaries, and commentary is subject to interpretation. And the worst is after that is translated some more. So the translation also can introduce possible error. And the first one, which is more critical, is the commentaries. Well, if the commentaries come from somebody who don't have the awakening or the realization, he may not understand the sutta the way it's supposed to be or meant to be. So all these are very important understanding that cultivator of the way should pay attention. So do not just simply quote what the Buddha say, then interpret it the way you want it. What the Buddha say is very good, a very good guy, no harm. But you must understand his deep meaning. So this is where the teaching comes, because of Subhadda's question. The key answer is Noble Eightfold Path. And this Noble Eightfold Path can be found in the Sutta and the Vinaya. Because over the years during the Buddha's time, he proclaimed a lot of truth in the form of sutta. Then after that, he also introduced the Vinaya rules for the good of the Sangha. Because as the Sangha grow, there are issues and problems that need to be sorted out. That's why the monks' rules of Patimokkha become more and more, until finally there are 227. Initially, the first five ascetics that got enlightened, they only have the five precepts. There is no other monk's rules. Of course, apart from a bit of the other three precepts that make it the eight precepts, they eat only one meal a day. After noon or after 12, they will not partake in any solid food. Then also they abstain from certain things. So those are basically to actually regulate the conducts of the Sangha or the monks. So when they introduce all this, the Vinaya, you have to understand, like what the Buddha mentioned in a later part when Ananda asked him. He said, regarding the sutta and the Vinaya, he said, how should we attend to it? Then the Buddha mentioned to Ananda, he said, when it comes to the Vinaya, the major rules you cannot break, is it? Because that involve the monk's conduct. If you break, you have to disrobe. No more second chance. But with regards to the minor rules that he introduced because of circumstances and conditions and needs, he said, some of this you can do away with it because they are not really the major rules. So when it comes to Vinaya, you also have to understand the aspect. Then you must also understand Vinaya that the Buddha introduced apply to the Sangha at that time. Whereas for the lay people, he only emphasized on the five precepts. Of course, those who want to take the eight precepts and move on to the ten precepts is encouraged. But these are people who are under training if you already have the understanding and the awakening, then they call you the Asekha beyond training. Sekhas are those who are still undergoing training to become enlightened beings. Whereas Asekhas are those who are beyond training. So Vinaya is all about training rules. We undertake the training rules to abstain from this and that. So all this need to be understood. So a lot of all these abstinence, the Vinaya rules, are actually cultivation of mindfulness. You have to develop mindfulness, awareness of a lot of things that is non-conducive for the holy life. So if you can be mindful and aware, it actually supports your cultivation. Your mindfulness becomes very, very sharp, very stable. Then you develop understanding of why the Buddha introduced all this. And even to remember all these monks' precepts or rules is not easy. If you cannot remember, then how can you cultivate or put them into practice? So all this demands a high level of mindfulness and commitment to have those understanding. Whereas this is to regulate the conduct of the Sangha. Then for the Bhikkhuni order, there are a lot more. They introduce, I think, 300 over rules, which is much more than the monks in Vinaya. So all this, hopefully, you all can develop the understanding. Okay, the other aspect of that message is the Buddha do not intend to like bind them to authority. Means after him, they expect the Buddha to name someone to succeed him. But the Buddha never named anybody. Never named anybody. That's why he said, the teaching has lost its authority. We are without a teacher. If you think that way, then it's wrong. He said, do not view it in that way. Whatever Dhamma and Vinaya that he has pointed out or formulated for the Sangha, that will be your teacher when I am gone. So this is very specific. Then he continued to speak the next line. Atta ko bhagava bhikkhu amantisi handa dani bhikkhave amanta yani. This part is very important. Vaya dhamma sankara apamadena sampadeta te. So this is the final message. He said, now then, monks, I exhort you. All fabrication are subject to decay. Bring about completion by being heedful. Means cultivate and develop the wisdom and understanding. So this part is very important. Vaya dhammo sankhara. Means all of sankhara, they are fabrication, they are impermanent, they are just mental activity, thinking. Then he moved on to say, ayam tathagatasa pachima vacha. Those were the tathagata's last words. That's why this part is very important. You have to actually develop heedfulness and understand that all of sankhara are impermanent. Then in the Ani Sutta, there is one sutta called Ani Sutta. This sutta is very good. The Buddha also mentioned about the Dhamma ending age. He said the true teaching, which is very profound in its meaning, deep in its meaning related to emptiness, will no longer be understood and will be neglected during the Dhamma ending age. During that time, the Dhamma ending age will arise. So all these are actually predicted by the Buddha during his time. So with this, hopefully by now, you can understand better. This is the third or fourth time I have explained this teaching on mind must have no dwelling. Do you all have any question? You better make full use of this condition to ask. Can you all follow? If you can follow, it's very good. Anybody wants to ask any question, it will be very, very useful. The mic is here. Anybody? Don't have? Then we go on. Then later on, there's a question, I think. Yes, there's a question by Sister Padmasri. Okay, we end here. Eh? Because it's already almost 4 p.m. We can have our toilet break. 3 minutes. Then after that, you can have your 45 minutes of silent awareness-based meditation. Okay? We were off the light. Then for those who wants to meditate straight away, you can proceed. So now we'll continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting.
Maybe Brad Gil, 我要问一个问，就是上次我在看那个，关于这个 direct seeings
哦。Yes.
Brad Gil 那个 direct seeing 我们知道它是在 silent mind 里面。那么我的 question 就是哦。 那个在哈 sutra 里面，那个观世音菩萨，他在他的 meditation 里面，照见那个五蕴皆空，这个也是 direct seeing 吗
？You can say it's an awakening. It's an awakening. That one is an awakening. She suddenly awakened to the truth that. The five aggregates of form and mind are empty. So, 照见五蕴皆空, because he illuminated the five aggregates, then he realized it was all empty. So, it's an awakening. So, here, awakening means it has developed the understanding already, because that nature awakened to that truth, which is very profound. So this one need a lot of stability of understanding. Then later on, like what Quan Sing went through, because when he was contemplating the Prajna Paramita cultivation, while he was cultivating the Prajna Paramita, means perfection of wisdom, then he illuminated on the five aggregate and realized he saw clearly that they were all empty, and that is an awakening. Whereas direct seeing is slightly different. The direct seeing is something like when you are mindful throughout the day, your mindfulness is already very stable. Then you can see things as they are. So that is direct seeing. Means you see without the interference of the thought process, your memory, your conditioning, your whatever. So that is called the direct seeing. Seeing things as they are. But when you are able to do that, chances is awakening can happen. But when, not sure. Understand? Not? It depends on the condition, the stability of understanding, and all those related factors. So sometimes the direct seeing is just a part of daily life where you have that stable mindfulness, awareness. So it will always see things as they are, like what we have gone through. Specific phenomenal awareness, because when you see without perception, without the mundane mind coming in to interfere, that is called the direct seeing. Means you see with the true mind. The mundane mind doesn't come in yet. The views, opinion, and the conditioning hasn't come in yet. But this direct seeing is the one that can awaken too. That's why when it comes to Kuan Yin one, that one is an awakening. Yeah, she expressed the awakening. So that one is after the direct seeing and that thing triggered, it happened. Yeah. So that is the difference. Is it clear?
Okay, yeah, clear. Thank you.
Because the direct seeing, you must understand, like the three types of seeing. Kan san, si san, see mountain is mountain. That is the first level. Ordinary mundane seeing. Because you use the mundane mind to perceive through your whatever brain's conditioning, your education, your memory or whatever, then everybody call it mountain. That's why it's mountain. Whereas the one that has the direct seeing, the silent mind, when they see, there is no word. You can follow. They see things as they are, without word, without concept, without the perception of what that thing is. It's the pure consciousness, the pure awareness of that thing. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, only that consciousness. There is no one to see. There is no mundane mind or the egoic mind to see. So that is the direct seeing. Means you are just aware, specific phenomenal awareness or the spacious awareness without a center is just aware, which is the same as the non-dwelling. The spacious awareness without a center is like non-dwelling. So it's actually the whole nature shine forth. That is just that direct seeing and the awareness nature that shine forth, the supramundane mind. So all this, when you stabilize your understanding and your meditative training, you will start to see very clearly and understand the difference between the various words. They are all in a way connected. The direct seeing, the awakening, and the what they call silent mind and others. They are all interconnected and related. When you are silent without thought, then you are just aware. So that mind, which is just aware, is capable of direct seeing things as they are. And that one also can awaken. That's why it's the meditative mind. I say use that to observe. Use that to insight into phenomena. May silence your mind and don't try to know, don't do anything, develop stability or daily mindful, then the understanding will come. The awareness itself will awaken to truth. It will insight into the universal characteristic, like Kuan Yin, suddenly awaken. So all this is the ability of the cultivator, means the one that know how to be with the awareness nature to cultivate using the silent mind, using the true mind, the self nature to develop understanding and awakening. So this is what Hui Ling meant by you cultivate from the self nature, from the first hallmark of no thought, Wu Nian. So when you cultivate from there, it's the silent mind, developing the stability of daily mindfulness, the awareness. When you are just aware, you will have clarity. You will have all the direct seeing and all those things. But not necessarily you can awaken all the time. There must be causes and conditions. And things must be fall into place to create the condition for awakening. So direct seeing is a prerequisite for awakening. But when you develop the stability of mindfulness to be able to be in the state of direct seeing, most of the time, it's not necessary that form and mind that go to that direct seeing from the nature can awaken. It will definitely awaken, but when, you don't know. And when it awakens, it's that moment, that instant, which can be only a certain small part of that whole direct seeing. That's why sometimes it is a glimpse, an awakening, a sudden insight. The nature just awakens, understand. So that is a result of that mind that is in that state of direct seeing. But direct seeing alone, not necessary linked to awakening all the time. It will definitely bring about awakening, but you don't know when. So the cultivator will know. So maybe this is what you want to be clear of. So with this explanation, hopefully others can also develop the understanding.
Okay. Sadhu, Brother Dio. That's what, Brother Dio, 我最近就因为我在 daily 里面去 就是在 daily 里面去 relate 把 Dharma relate 在 daily 然后 就是
daily life activity
对发现到在 daily 里面真的是需要很多的 patient
and understanding. It will create a lot of understanding as you go through. That's the reason why I always say life itself is our greatest teacher. We learn from life. Like that day, I think BG, she now realized she can see a lot of First Noble Truth reality happening in life. Then the heart become different, because when you go to the practice of cultivation, you will go through all these phases. As I say, everything is part of the way. So as the cultivation progress and unfold, you will experience all this. Then your mind will start to have wider scope of understanding. That's why you have to go into daily life. You have to go into existence. You have to, like what the Wuliang Yi Jing, the Sutra Inferred Meaning say, you have to widen your exposure to life, to existence, to develop the mind rights of wisdom that is possible to expose our ability to understand, because everything is different. Every living being, every sentient being, their karma, their condition, every nature's condition, civilization, everything is so different. So it is not something that is static. It's a living Dhamma, it's flowing. Then there are so many things. But yet, behind the understanding of true emptiness, you know, there is nothing. Everything is just empty. He know you, he know me. No mark of a self-cultivating. No mark of others. No mark of life existence. No reality. But life itself has its own reality. Yeah, this form and mind is different. Form and mind is within the conditioned world, subject to karma, subject to nature's law. That within the conditioned world, everything like exists. It's the opposite of true emptiness and the unconditioned. So you need to go into life is because you need to understand all this so that you understand the aspect of living. And living is not easy to understand. There are so many Dhamma behind, so many things behind, so many perfections behind. So when it comes to living and Dhamma, it's about understanding the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, where you get to reap the fruit of your hard work, where you get to realize the enlightenment. Then that phase of Dhamma will enable you to develop a lot of understanding. You will go into life. You will come to experience many, many things. Your exposure all will be different. Yeah, that is the cultivation of the Bodhisattva. The great beings, they come for the living beings. So all this you understand. So going into life is a good thing. It's the right thing. So you want to continue?
Cultivation the process.
No, you have to describe. You describe your thing. What actually happened?
Deal with incident, 就好像我跟我的 colleague 跟我的 customer deal with 那些一些每一个的那个事情，我会去看。
Okay.
这里面有的那种那种 Dharma 的 aspect 里面有的那个 understanding 在里面
Can you describe in more detail? Give some example or what?
Okay, like for 很像我跟我的我跟我的colleague 在做工的时候他就好没有什么要去做，但是我就做回我自己的 part。At the same time， 我就在从这个continue to work 的这个 process 里面去看到我自己就是怎样的去那个 mind 的去怎样去 deal with 这个这个过程，那个 mind。
Okay， then what happened？
就有时我会看到有时那个是thought 还会再有 stir 的会被stir 上来。
还有呢，
不会像以前这样抓到很紧那它会起来吧，你也知道，然后又你也知道。很像一种那种感觉很像一种learning 的 process 这样子
目前 based on what you describe, there is a slight danger that you are going back to analysis because what you are going through is you go through your career, like your colleague encounter something and you use your so-called Dhamma to reflect, to contemplate all that. But actually that one, if you are not careful, analysis come back again. So what PG they all go through one is different.Is to see the suffering. It's no more about your own sankhara movement. Your own sankhara movement that you describe, you are trying to know whether you still like last time or not. Grasp clear. Forget about all those things. That one, the awareness will understand by itself. Don't go and check whether it's still having that behavior or not. But you do that.You will get yourself entangled back with the thinking, the analysis, the mundane mind again. That aspect, how the mundane mind behave, when you are aware, you will know. And like I say, don't try to know, just cultivate. Then when the wisdom stabilizes, when it's already so stable and the clarity is...Already so stable, you will come to know the form and mind will come to know. Now different already, not like last time. that Sankara cannot even do all those things anymore. So it will come to know naturally. So no need to go and like every now and then try to check whether I'm still like that or not. So that one, you have to be careful. Where that one will bring you back to analysis, reasoning. Yeah. So what I'm trying to share with you earlier about BG1 is, after she developed the understanding and the transformation, now she go into life. Then she witnessed a lot of things. Early on was the test from the sister's condition. They go through the operation, and then finally the sister succumb to the operation and all this thing. Then she saw the suffering. She read the news. The thing just arise. That this is what the reality of life and existence is all about. So all this is very different from what you are talking about. Going into life is to go into everything that happened in life. Like our pandemic is one of them. Like the new variant is another one. And how even the election at Malacca and other states, then the our country consciousness, how it moves and all that. Then the world. You look at how the world react to things now. It's so different. Even somebody discover some new variant, a new type of COVID-19 variant that has 30 variant. And that itself is good enough to create a lot of shock and panic all over the world. That's why last Friday there was worldwide panic, and the stock market were hit, the airline stock, casino stock, all those, because they scared this variant is doubly powerful as compared to the Delta variant, which is supposed to be very disruptive and very difficult to deal. And this one, the number of variants is so much more until the United Nations had to hold an emergency meeting. Then immediately after that, a lot of government decided to take action, no longer complacent like last time. So they stopped the air traveling from this 8 countries, I think, near South Africa, where the strain were there. It seems that day, that flight, that takeoff, we are nowadays the information very fast, that landed in the various country and city, even some in Europe, Hong Kong, and US and all. They tested the passenger in the flight, out of maybe 50 or 70. Two or three, they have that new variant. That's why they are now very panicky, where they know if there is a case, it can spread very far. Because the potential to spread is so much more potent than the earlier one. Even the Delta variant, which is the most fierce, this one is at least double the rate and the risk. So it leads to all this. So if you have the Dhamma, you will not panic, you will not like become like affected by all, but you will develop the understanding. That's what life is all about. That's what the reality is. That's why yesterday night earning, Pamasuri and relative dropped by to send us something, I think some food and which they brought back from, I think, Cameron Highland or somewhere, I also not very sure. Then they came in and paid respect. Then we had a short discussion, chat. Then we talked about life, existence. We share a lot about like what the world has gone through. Just like the way I share, I say the golden era during my time. I was born in the 50s. Then we go through the 60s and the 70s, which are still relatively backward and primitive, the world at that time. Then 80s onward, we see great changes and transformation, the 90s, then 2000, 2010 and 20. So we went through six over decades. Now coming to the seventh decade of transformation and change. And this is something that is very interesting and very wonderful, because for human lifespan of maybe, as you say, 80 years average, or 75 to 80 years, you can witness so much of life, existence and civilization. It's a great blessing. It's not easy. That's why I call it the golden era. And moving forward into the seventh decade, the 70s, and we are now, I'm 60 something, I will know, I will see and witness a lot more things than, of course, if I can live up to 80 or beyond. Then there is a lot more to witness, to see. And now things happen very fast, change very fast. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. But finally, whatever happened, the truth, the reality is from ultimate truth in true emptiness, everything is empty, no reality. That's why there must be understanding of Poseidon, able to contemplate the true Dhamma versus the worldly Dhamma, the conditioned Dhamma. Then you experience life to the fullest. You have very rich exposure and understanding. You understand the nature's law, the totality of consciousness, the movement, everything. And this is Dhamma. This is living Dhamma, life itself. That's why don't be caught with the thought process whether I have become different or not. But the nature will know when your wisdom stabilizes, your understanding stabilizes, and your mindfulness stabilizes until very clear. All this is like naturally arising. The form and mind that go through that cultivation, that process, will understand, like the Buddha said, this Dhamma is Pachetang Veditatbo Vinohiti, can be realized by the wise, each for himself. So this should be the understanding. That's why when you go into life, so don't go and look at the mind and all those things. That one, let the cultivation take care of it. Don't try to know. But experience life. Look at life with a new understanding. Means with all the Dhamma that you have developed as understanding, then you reflect, you contemplate what really life is. It becomes very different. You will not be affected and entangled, but you see the beauty, the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Life can be so marvelous, so amazing. Like Alicia and even this Po Cheng and even this PG, they all keep on describing. It's more ao miao, it's more amazing and all those things. Yeah, everything is like full of joy, full of meaning, full of understanding, unfolding. Within the conditioned world, it has its own Dhamma. So this is how the cultivator will go through and develop all this understanding. So hopefully with this clarification, it will help you in your progress there on the song. Otherwise, without you knowing it, you go back to the analysis and what they call reasoning again. But this one, I can't blame you because the habit of tendency thing is not so fast, not so easily like taken away. Because you have this strong, curious mind that want to know all this. That's why your focus is like you got caught in this. Instead of looking at life and existence with awareness, with mindfulness, seeing things as they are, the true Dhamma and all those things, and everything that unfolds, how it relates to the teaching and all those things. So these are more important understanding of the cultivation. Okay, so
Sadhu Bradio.
Actually Bradio, 最近我觉得当我在我做我的chanting的同时，我好像也是在做 meditation。
Yeah， 对，
是那种感觉啊。哦，原来因为我盘着腿就是 like half lotus 这样子做我的 meditation 嘛。
Yeah，
现在我做我的 chanting， then。I feel that there's one day 我唱唱唱哦，因为在唱心经的时候，然后我就come to， 因为心经我就试下我不要看那个书，就我就这样子直接念，念就是来用我是用我的心在念的时候，
对，
他念到一半哦，我感觉。我是进入一个来讲就是他就好像一个 mechanical 人在这样子的没有就是你
没有一个人在 drive the thing
yes exactly
It's the awareness and the thing move because of the understanding then that type of chanting is very different one and the clarity is there one then 你会悟到很多东西的
就是不是就 like
yeah.
it was like, 都没有一个人在唱里面
对没有一个人在里面
一个像 auto 这样讲
对
我只能这样去形容它好像一个 auto by 的 在唱 then 在同时我发觉到当我在做我的chanting的时候哇原来也是在 meditation
that is the meditative training 因为 chanting 啊什么啊全部都是 develop 它的 spiritual faculty then develop the transformation of sati until 那个 sati become more and more stable more and more clarity until there is no one to chant then the thing move by itself automatic is the nature's movement so you will go through all thisphase then the mind that gone through all this transformation will understand then later on as you come out of it that's why you continue to do this as a religious routine it will prepare your mind to receive all this type of understanding and stability of understanding then during any moment within life whether first turning or second turning or third turning you can awaken where you have prepared the base to receive truth. That's why the daily religious routine, the training, the mindfulness, the awareness, the spiritual faculties, they are very important. So just do. Don't try to know. That's why I say after that, the understanding will come by itself. You will start to see all these things and know what this thing is. Because the Dhamma, the truth is Pachetang.Can be realized by the wise each for themselves. Then everything becomes very amazing, very beautiful. Then your mind is like very light, very clear. No more issue with existence, with life, with whatever happens. Everything that arises is just the condition at that time, the phenomenal world or whatever. That's what a cultivator will go through.And develop all this understanding, then you can contemplate, you can reflect. So very good, Sadhu, and how, Alicia?
Sadhu, brother, you actually, in 一个月之前 before all this happening, 我每天睡觉的时候都觉得哇，我好像没有在睡觉嘞，我全部的一滴就是那个 chattering mind 啊，哇 so strong then. 全部的过程你都好像很清楚。
Yeah, because of the awareness nature there, how the movement, how the mundane mind chatter and the activities, then later on how they slow down, and how they finally cease. We are usually like a bee. Then that nature that is just silent and aware will not fit in with any more meaning or energy. Then that one will slow down. Then finally it will cease and become very quiet, very still. You will go into those tranquil state, the shift of consciousness, and it become more and more silent, more and more still. Like what PG they all went through, the mind will move into the more refined vibration, and for you to develop understanding of what is possible when you cultivate awareness-based meditation accordingly. That's why when all these things happen, don't try to know, just do, just do. Of course, when you come out of it, you want to develop some understanding, you can contemplate, then you can reflect, then suddenly you start to understand things better. But the danger is, don't go and reason and go and like analyze too much, because if you do that, you will end up like what song at times go through, because without you knowing, this thing, the habitual tendency will take you back in that direction. So this one, you must have very stable, clear understanding. Then when it happened, you have to tell yourself, oh, like what you went through in the years of depression that allow you to have those understanding. When this wrong thought try to come and create negative thinking, you straight away know, you lie. And now you have tormented me for long enough. So 它就 subside. So 这些东西 you need to go through to develop the understanding. So for your case, it's very good. So it's more for to remind Brother Song at times. Because when you don't have that stability of understanding and clarity, you can still be drawn into subtle analysis or what they call reasoning, because you're too keen to know whether you have transformed or not, you have changed or not. That one, don't try to know, because that one, when it happened, because of your stability or wisdom, the form and mind will know by itself, because that nature that is connected to it with the wisdom will have the ability to be aware and sensitive enough to feel all this, to understand all this. So you don't have to go and look for it and analyze or reason or conform and get excited. Oh, now I'm different already. It's not like last time already, not so strong already, the attachment. Actually, forget about that, because most of that, you are not careful, is still at the thought level. But for cultivator, this tendency is always there for certain people or certain cultivator. In particular, I think Brother Song, well, 他很好奇的, he got that type of mind. He wants to go into it to understand all. So that one is actually the mundane mind behind. So have to actually straighten that understanding and develop the clarity of mind and understanding, stability of understanding, to actually move out from there, not to be caught in that anymore. That's why today one, I think if the song listen to it again, it will help him. But off and on, he will still have a little bit here and there to untie, to unlock, and to develop the understanding. Then the key understanding is very important. Just do. Don't try to know. Live life. Cultivate. Stabilize the understanding, the daily mindfulness, the religious routine. Just do. Until that nature is very stable. Okay,
Lisa, Sadhu. Sadhu, actually, for me to go through all this, 我时常会这样子想，因为我觉得天下没有白受的苦，所以我觉得
没有白受的苦
啊，对，因为如果你要 go through， 你 go through 了这个之后呢，就是 like， how to say， 美丽的天空就在了，
对对对，现出来，
是的，所以我就让他得做，啊，就刚才我在，因为
它是一种磨练来的，
对，是真的是一种磨练
了，就好像那天 NB remember the saying 嘛，正道才有磨，越磨越光亮，光亮更要磨。磨到露出也现出本来佛、This is what you are experiencing、Because all this is to actually expose us to more and more experience of cultivation、一种磨练、Is to let us understand Sometimes it's a test Sometimes it'sPart of the way for us to go through to develop all this understanding. That's why you perceive it with positive mindset, without negativity, then everything becomes beautiful. It helps us to understand the cultivation more. It helps us to understand the Dhamma, the life, existence more deeply. That's why the Mandarin word 磨练 is very good.磨练 how to translate 啊？
translate
to English。It is like it's a good way to test yourself to go through the life experiences, the reality of life existence. It give you.The requisite training.、But training alone, the meaning is not as deep as the Mandarin word 磨练. Never mind, it's okay. I think most people will know 磨练. Like it train you up.Expose you. Yeah, very true, Alicia, 你讲的。
是的，不是，所以对我而言，可能我就是要 go through 这些，因为以前所 go through 的其实不算是磨练，因为是 healer 的 lifestyle 来的。
对对。
所以。
现在你了解吗 ？Every of this suffering, is to let you understand. 好像 the way you put it is very good. 好像一种什么啊？刚才你讲了，不是白白 wasted one.
就是你 Radio 你的意思是说，我开始讲天下没白受的苦。
对，没白受的苦啊 ，that one is very good. All the affliction and suffering.That you experience does not go to waste one. 没白受的苦 It can bring about understanding. Because 你的 way is to go through that affliction, the mental suffering, also partly because the coming death and all those things, then the condition, then only the good condition will arise for you to encounter the Dhamma. The truth and all those things. So there are many people who go through that way of cultivation. Even Eckhart, he was also in depression. Then he don't want to continue and finish off his master degree. Then he suddenly went into it and developed the awakening and the understanding. But before it happened, he was in depression. But his one not that long. His one, I think, short period only, 1-2 years, while he was studying his PhD. I remember. So for different people different. Neither way is very good because you start to develop all this understanding.
还有 Bradio 就是、我想讲一下我的 habitual tendency.
啊呀，那个会 help a lot of people.
对，因为因为 actually 我们在 farm 里面，我跟大家的 interaction 还有 especially 跟 Freddy 啊，大家因为每个人都有每个人的想法做法，
对对对，
这样的。所以当我们在这 farm 的时候，我们很多时候会他就问你，哎，怎么样？这个要怎么样？可是你一讲怎么样，他就哎，不可以，这个不可以这样。然后我讲 ，OK，
it bound to happen. That's what relationship is all about.
Okay,
so your skill in resolving this is noble eightfold path, 八正道。So you go back to 八正道 then you will understand they are just the way they are. You are just the way you are. So it's very difficult to find like common understanding, common interest, everything common one. Not easy. Not easy. With the world, it's not a perfect world. So, 好像你经过你了解, there is always different approach to things, different understanding to do things. But at least Freddy is very good. She respects you and she asks, how should we do this? Then of course, when you give your opinion and your suggestion, because Freddy is like that, he quite clear about what he believe, he want and all those things. So he will tell you like what you say just now, oh cannot, 不可以. But if you have a better explanation or understanding, he will listen on. Your Freddy 的人不错的，他会 listen and he learn, he's willing to learn. And he's a very nice.Personality. Then 你的 personality, after you have the Dhamma, 更好 because you understand much deeper. Then you will know how to resolve it and all those things, which is very good. Otherwise, Tabansa relationship can never be very smooth. Because most people somehow fail.In the way they have relationship and relate to people. So it's not easy to actually be tactful, sensitive, able to resolve issue amicably. That one is not easy. That one is part and parcel of the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. That's why sometimes when we say a few of this kind, gentle and pleasant speech or words, it can actually soften and tone down things a lot. Otherwise, through habitual tendency and reaction, they get angry very fast. They become violent or unhappy very fast. Then some people take it very strongly. They hold on to it. They cannot just understand that everything is just sankara. Sankara anicang, sankara dukkang. And the way people receive certain type of feedback can cause them to react with negativity or unhappiness. So it's impossible to please everyone, to please the world. But it's important to develop understanding to resolve issue amicably.To resolve problem and all those things. So, focus on Noble Eightfold Path to accept the reality of the moment, to accept people the way they are, and to accept the world as a world. Then, accord and flow and just move. Because there are some we can't really try to change them or get them to agree. But then, we justwithdraw and say, I'm sorry if I caused you any misunderstanding, or we just remain silent and quiet and just let things be. Then you need to apologize. You apologize, so we resolve it. But most of the time, you are good in the way you you like communicate, then you can actually catch on all this very strong and good way of making people feel good. Say, oh, very sorry, ayo, I never thought of that. Oh, very kind of you to have told me. Oh, he will reverse the thing. It's like he has given you good advice. It's like this one is really very good information or advice. I never thought of that. Then sometimes he will just say, I'm sorry. You just apologize. Then can I help you? Is there anything or any other issue that I can help you resolve? So these are ways, skillful means, to actually resolve whatever misunderstanding or whatever conflict amicably, so that people will not react and get unhappy. So Noble Eightfold Path, right speech, right action, right thought, right livelihood, right approach to life with right view is very important to accept the reality. Then do not react and stir our mundane mind. But all this demand understanding of the Dhamma.
Okay, Alicia. Deal with life.
Yeah, like you say, you have to be very patient.
是的，因为你没有那个 wisdom 还是你没有那个 understanding 哦，你就很容易被那个 mundane
mind抓去了。
所以其实就 start with breath 就讲的 eightfold path 就是
对，往往就是因为一个
wrong view 就 condition 我们
的所有的 wrong thought, wrong action, wrong speech 全部出来了，很快的。因为我昨天就是因为一个
wrong view 哦，所以
我自己看到，你自己看得到的，then you will laugh at it 咯。 But sometimes it's because we have this kindness, this goodness, this compassion. Then sometimes it is because somebody that you think you should change or guide them, because if you don't say it out or in a more like strong way, they take for granted and they continue that old way, which you know is detrimental. Going to the wrong direction really. So that's why that one is more difficult to deal. So that one, sometimes I have to raise my voice. I have to change. I have to do certain things. Because these people, they won't wake up unless, just like I say, knock them. Chiao yi chiao. Otherwise, pushing your door. And sometimes they thought they already have to understand. They really climb over your head or park on the toe, and they dare to say or do anything, you know. So when you see that thing, the nature normally have compassion, have what they call loving kindness and all, but there is no other way of helping them really. If it's not somebody we know or close or that has affinity, it's very easy. Just let things be. 什么都不用做。 But 那个 会 create misunderstanding and more negative condition. Because people cannot understand. Then they think, oh, 你不管他了，你不睬他了，你好像不高兴了。 All this is from the mundane mind that perceive that reality. That's why 那个 people who have close relationship with you one are the one that is not easy to handle. The Noble Eightfold Path understanding has to be very deep. Then sometimes you need to raise your voice, you need to raise your, but with no negative intent. It's just to explain that you continue like that. it will have its own karmic effect and all those things, then you will be caught and stuck with that type of views and have your tendency. So the development of understanding to actually help people straighten their view to change is not easy. That's why as a bodhisattva, you have to be very patient. Sometimes not strong enough, cannot change them. You have to wait for condition. Then sometimes the condition is that you can knock louder or harder, because this is the time they can understand really. They make mistake already. Or then you say it out. See? Now you understand why in the past I tell you not to do all this. Then they start to see, they start to understand. You know, a lot of people, they take it very personally. Like Tok Tang wants to make life difficult for people. You just like want to tell people all and honestly. But it depends on the person. If that person has the Dhamma, why should he do this? It's for out of love and compassion for people who has affinity. That's why for me, even if it's Kayanamita or what, if there is condition, I will say something. I will share. If there is no condition, I will just let things be. Because this is just Dhamma friends. Yeah. But when it comes to loved ones, more karmic affinity one, that one is different. That one you have to deal where you meet almost every day. You have to like go through that relationship and like almost every day. So you need to exercise some form of subtle understanding to let them understand. Then of course, the only thing you can do is to play your part. So if they don't have the karmic condition to develop the benefit and the understanding, they will continue their own way. But so far so good. Almost all of them slowly understand and change for the better. That's why things become easier. So we have to be patient. Because like in the early days, I remember my two children, my wife were very concerned. They said after the form 3 or 1, they don't go to temple anymore. They don't want to learn the Dhamma anymore. I say, just let things be where they are lying, let them decide. When the condition arise, when the time come, they will understand, they will come back to the Dhamma, they will become different. And that's what happened to them, especially my daughter. Because they have their understanding, they are also observing us. So she saw a lot of things that I do actually transform our whole family and our life and all those things for the better. That's why she starts to like want to understand, listen. Then later on, she decided to come back for the retreat, join us on spiritual. And those few years actually created a condition for her to understand the Dhamma. Then after that, she gave up drinking. She used to like off and on take wine and all those things. She totally gave up. And my son, a few years, 5-6 years ago, I think, he went to Singapore and met up with the sister. Then he came back, he told me straight away, good news. I said, what is it? Chacha give up drinking. That time I also didn't know, because Sui never tell me. Then it was through my son that I came to know. Then later on, my daughter explained to me why he changed and do all this. Because when they see the Dhamma, the beauty of Dhamma, they change. Then a lot of things about life, she starts to straighten her view and do things differently. Everyone has their own character, habit, have your tendency and all those things. Okay, I think we may have to stop already. Yeah, it's already 5:48. So Alicia, thank you so much for the sharing. Anything else?
Sadhu Bradio, 因为 Bradio 每天都讲的，我记得 Bradio 有讲过，我们先要从我们自己做起。 当我们看到我们自己之后，你就看到别人了。所以，我很记着这一句话，感恩啊 ，Bradio，
对对对对，沙丢沙丢，So let us rejoice the good sharing from Brother Song and Alicia. So this will let Kayamita understand better, and the learning in this way is much more effective and faster. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.